I think in general, in societies, in many societies, if not in all societies, there is a perception that girls' education is not paramount. And that's because of stereotypes about girls' and women's role in society. So in a situation like that, the messages that are sent by these attacks are very powerful because they build on and strengthen these stereotypes and these views. So let's imagine that already in one community where, you know, there are negative views about girls' education, a father or a family has been brave enough to send his girl to school, and then something like that happened, the community's support for education can quickly withdraw. So these attacks have a ripple effect, which is extremely dangerous in terms of protecting the gains that we have made so far in promoting girls' education.
I think you said that one of these high-profile attacks encouraged thousands of parents not to send their children to school, and teachers stayed away from school as well. So the ripple effect is enormous. Mm-hmm. In the report, you make recommendations and you speak about involving communities to physically protect schools. Mm-hmm. And you also speak about approaching armed groups. Now, what kind of guarantees do you want from these armed groups?
Yes, there are examples of efforts that have been made to ensure that girls can continue to access education, even in situations where there has been sheer opposition to girls' education by some groups. For example, there were attempts in Afghanistan to negotiate with some of the Taliban's measures that would make education for girls acceptable. Also, there are mechanisms, even at the international level, if we think about, for example, the monitoring and reporting mechanisms established under the Security Council Resolution 1612 on children in armed conflict, whereby armed groups have been singled out and sometimes sanctioned for undertaking certain acts that have shown that these efforts of engaging in dialogues with armed groups can be effective at times. And then, as you said, there have been other efforts in other contexts to involve communities in physical protection of schools.
What kind of physical protection measures do you mean? Can you give me an example?
It can mean, for example, increasing patrols around the school. It can mean physical protection by the army as well.
In the primary sector, primary school sector, it's not so the distinction between the number of boys and girls going to school, but it becomes more clear in secondary school. Now, why is that exactly, and why is it important for girls to get education?
Well, it's the reasons for that are many. As I said before, maybe now there's widespread acceptance that a minimum level of education is needed for girls. But from there to accept that girls need to have access to higher education, it's another important step. And it has to do a lot with perceptions, as I said before, about girls' education as being maybe a wasted investment in some cases because of what girls are expected to do at a later stage. In situations of conflict, as you rightly pointed out, if you look at the number of children out of school, of course, the total number of children out of school is higher than in other contexts, but girls make up 55% of children out of school at the primary level, while they make up a much higher proportion at the secondary level, because I think it has to do a lot with what I just said, but also with the desire or the concerns about protecting the girl's safety, reputation, because in certain contexts, the girl's purity is her main value and what can ensure her marriageability. So the concerns about protecting that take prevalence over the desire to ensure that girls can have access to education. And girls also have to perform many other tasks in those situations, taking care of the families when, you know, some of the family members are away for many reasons, taking care of siblings and so on. So that also has, of course, an impact.